Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of worship, prayer, and teaching, Lord. And we just want to start out by just petitioning to you, Lord. We just pray that you'd have your way here tonight, Father, that everything said and done would glorify you, Lord. And we also come with petitions and needs, Lord, things that we need to hear from you on and need a touch from you. And for our brother Rich, he wants to lift up his son's wife, dealing with depression, Father. We know that's a terrible sickness and just affects a lot of people in the family. And so we just pray, Father, for your healing hand upon her, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would just come upon her, Lord, and just show her that she's your child, Lord, and that you created her for greater things, Father God. And we just pray that you would feel your presence, Father, and see the joy in your creation, Father, and then the joy in the gifts that you've given her and the people you've put around her, Father God. So I just pray for healing for her and just lifting up her spirits, Father God. Brother Nick, he wants to lift up Angelo, who's having trouble with breathing and back pain and sleeping issues, Father. We just want to lift up Angelo, Lord, that you just help him, Lord, heal his body, help him to have a good night's sleep. Help him to be wake up rested, Father, and ready to serve you, Lord. Also, Nick wants to lift up his brother John and sisters Chris and Mary for salvation, Father. We just pray for this family of brother Nick, Father, and I just pray that the words of hope and wisdom that Nick has shared over the years would just penetrate their hearts, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just prepare them, Lord, to see you working in their lives, Father God. And reaching out to them, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just soften their hearts, Lord, and that they would not miss you working around them, Father, in their midst, Lord, that they would see you and just know, Father, that you desire to affect their lives, to bless them and have a relationship with them, Father, as you desire to have with all of us, Lord. Lord, we want to lift up our sister Rocky, Lord. Our brother Bob is with her tonight instead of being here with the brothers, Lord. Rocky had a little bit of a rough day, Lord, and we just pray for a complete healing for her, Lord. Just strengthen her, Lord. Just keep her safe, Father. Help her not to try and get up out of bed when she really can't. Or give her strength, Father. Give her wisdom, Lord. Help Brother Bob to just be there for her, Lord, and just take good care of her, Lord. We just pray that you strengthen her bones and just continue to use her, Lord, as a blessing to all of us, Father God. I just pray that that she would feel your presence tonight, Lord. And Brother Daniel, just want to lift up the unborn, Father. You put the issue of abortion on Daniel's heart every week for us to share, Father, and we know it grieves you, Lord, the way we discard our young ones, Father. We just pray, Lord, that changing the hearts of man, Father, that we would learn to at least respect the youngest, the littlest, the those who aren't a threat to anyone, and yet we treat them like they are a threat, like they're not worth anything, and we don't even want them around. Father, we know that grief breaks your heart, Father, as it breaks ours, Father. So we just pray for change the hearts of men and women in this country, Father. We just pray for the ministries like the Horizon Pregnancy Center who strive to reach out to those in crisis pregnancies and to help them to make a decision that would glorify you, Father, and ultimately bring them peace in their lives too, Father, by bringing these children to term. And Father, we just thank you again for your presence, Lord, and we just pray that you just have your way here tonight, Father God. And we just pray for our brother Todd, who's going to be sharing the word with us later, Lord. And we just pray you'd use him, Father, for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey. Brother Ed, yeah. Yeah. Let's give a word of praise for that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing Brother Ed back to us, Father. It's so good to see him with a smile on his face and a spring in his step, Lord. We just thank you for having a hand upon him, Lord, for keeping him strong and safe, Father, and just bringing his smiling face to help light up this room, Lord. We just thank you for our brother, Lord, and we just pray for him. Continue to touch his body. We ask this in Jesus' name. Brother Ed, good to see you.
All right, my brothers, we ready? We got all of our sugar and pizza? All right. Well, good deal. We're in Philippians tonight. We're continuing along our journey. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 12 through 30 is where we're going. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this Bible study. I personally thank you for these guys that show up, and because for any other reason, Lord, than you. It's all about you. So we have that in common. We have that that same purpose, and it makes us brothers. And I think it's really cool. So Father, I just thank you for this group, and I'm thinking of our brother right now that we should have prayed for earlier, Todd Collis, who's hasn't been feeling good, but he's been following along online. And so Lord, I just pray. I want to lift him up, God, that you would heal him, make him strong, Lord, that he could come back to us, God, that we could rejoice with him like we did with our brother Ed tonight, Lord. So grateful for him to come back, and we want to see Todd back as well. So Father, we lift him up to you, and we commit this night to you, and just ask that you would open our ears, Lord, to the soft sound of your Spirit, and you would that we would hear whatever it is individually you want us to pick up, God, from your Word. Help me to get out of the way and let you do your thing, God. So just lifting that up to you now, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers. So a couple weeks back, Marty had us in the last part of chapter 1 there, the second half. And Marty started off with this picture, right? He said, you guys remember when your first child was born. You remember that moment, right? I remember that moment. It blew me away. I was like, wow. Like, I didn't know my parents could love me that much, right? It was like an appreciation for your parents. You remember that? It was a powerful moment. It was a powerful image. And then he also said, you know, remember the day you were married, seeing your bride for the first time. Another powerful image. Well, tonight I'm gonna play off of those two things. We're gonna fast forward now. The image I want you to have is that little girl, in my case, right? She's 13 now. She's got a brother who's 11 and a brother who's 9, and we're going down the freeway, and they're all in the back seat of the truck, and it's 110 outside, and we got a 5-hour drive ahead of us, and God forbid one of them touches the other one. And, you know, they got to go to the bathroom, and they're hungry, and their so-and-so's device is too loud. That's the visual I want you to have tonight. And then the other visual is, you know, the honeymoon's over, and you've got 3 kids. And you're both working like dogs, right? And you haven't got to spend any time with each other in a while. And when you do, all you do is talk about the kids, right? So things are stressful, and you haven't had much time with your spouse. I want you to, those are the two images I want you to have tonight as we get started. All right, so Philippians 2, verse 12, here we go. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is one of those verses where context is really important, right? Because taken in and of itself, man, it's like, oh, well, we are responsible for our own salvation. We do gotta earn it, right? That's how it gets twisted by some people. So context is important. Especially in this case, you know, we could say the whole context of the whole Word of God, but in this case, just the context of the book we're reading, right, or the letter we're reading in this this epistle from Paul. And so with that context in mind, I'm going to get started, and then later we'll talk a little bit more about that context. The first point I see right here is obviously, and Mike did this last week with you guys. I went back and watched it. Good job, Mike. And it said, therefore, right? Therefore, we got to look back at what's just been said, because we're building on that. And two big things that I think is being built on here. One, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also, or was also in Christ Jesus. Like, that's a huge point here. And then number two, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. First observation, true obedient servant is going to be the same here, there, everywhere, right? At work, at church, at home, at the grocery store, and yes, even on the freeway. That's a good sign of a true obedient servant. Jesus is our example. Paul is saying to these guys or to this church, he's saying, if Jesus was this way, our goal should be to be like Jesus, to be the same way. We read that part of verse 12 where it says, work out your own salvation. My wife and I were talking about this morning, and she rightly, I think, said that it's about relationship. It's about effort, right? An effort in relationship. A good relationship requires effort. Talking about that first example I gave you. And marriage is a perfect example because Jesus calls us his bride. And so it takes two to tango in a relationship. And yes, we're married, but it can either be a fruitful relationship or it can wither depending on both parties' effort, right? And we know Jesus is all in with us. So it really comes down to us. And I believe that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about effort. And so some of the ways that we can make effort, obviously, and one of my favorites is what we just did to start out. It's prayer. It's just an opportunity to talk to God. Well, I was talking to Rich yesterday. We had kind of a we didn't plan to meet, but we ended up meeting up. We were having a great conversation, and that the subject of prayer was just was huge, because we were both like, man, yeah, it's like we need it. And you know, it's the same way with your spouse. If you're not talking to each other about each other, I think that's really important. Things can get dry, right? You gotta put in work if you wanna get out the results. And so I believe that's what Paul's talking about here. And the second part where it says with fear and trembling, I believe that is about respect, right? It's not, God's not walking around waiting to just smash us. You know, we're not going, oh man, God's gonna smash me. Like, fear and trembling, that's not what it's about. It's about respect. It's about not having a spirit of entitlement, right? Which is just an ugly thing. We see it so too prevalent in the world today in a lot of other areas, but especially when it comes to the Lord and the things of the kingdom, right? And God's grace, our the fact that we're forgiven. We shouldn't have an air of entitlement. What God's grace should do is create an attitude of appreciation, right? In contrast to that. And this is what I believe Paul is saying here. I think the fear and trembling is a matter of not taking for granted the grace of God. And the fact is, the fact that it's a gift, and it's about saying, God, search my heart, right? As that song was saying, right? You're looking into my heart. Search my heart that I might not sin against you, right? It's an effort, and it's an attitude. Verse 13, gives us some of that context I was talking about earlier. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We know God is the one who directs our paths, right? Lean not on your own understandings, and all your ways, you know, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. to his followers, his believers, he directs our path. We know it's his spirit that's in us, right? And it's his spirit that motivates us. It fuels us, and it calls us to response in each and every situation. Now, we have an endless free fuel pump at our disposal to draw from. That would be nice outside these walls. But, you know, it's really important, and I think more rightly biblically to put it, we have an endless well to draw from, right? And the idea here is for believers, your call is to continue to respond to God's will and to his purposes, to have the mind of Jesus, right? Paul is saying, be motivated by the idea that your actions bring the Lord pleasure or make him proud. An example of that is just me and my kids, right? I had three kids. My daughter didn't want this, but I'll use the boys as an example. She's too cool for me anymore. But the boys really wanted dad to give them the thumbs up on their poetry recital this week. My daughter didn't want me there. I think she was just embarrassed. But the boys really wanted dad to be there. They really wanted dad to tell them good job, right? They wanted me to be proud of them. My son, my oldest son, he plays this game where he builds all these things, right? I mean, pretty cool stuff. But I mean, it wasn't always cool, but I always told them, oh man, that's awesome, right? And because that's what they want. They want the approval of their parents. They want their parents to be proud of them no matter what it is. And I think that should be our motivation. Our motivation should be to make God proud, right? We want him to be proud. And he says he gives us the ability to do that, right? He puts that will and that drive to do that into us. Do all things without complaining. Here we go back to that car ride. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That image I started with the kids in the car on the road trip, I use that visual because I think it's a decent example of what it is, what's being expressed here by Paul to this Philippian church. It comes down to maturity as a Christian, right? My wife and I, we're not complaining and asking, are we there yet every 10 minutes? We're not, you know, we're holding hands. We're not, don't touch me. And I think it's because we have the motivation that we know where we're going. Right? We have that goal in mind. It's maturity. And as Christians, we have that same motivation. We know where we're going. We know what's been done for us to go there, to be there. And so for my wife and I, that makes that drive kind of pleasant other than what's going on in the back seat. Remember, Paul is writing from imprisonment, right? He's shackled, you know, to a Roman soldier, and he's seen firsthand how his handling of that adversity is impacting these people that are around him, other inmates, the guards themselves, so etc. And Paul's kingdom minded. He's got the mind of Jesus, right? He's purposed to do that. He's focused and he's motivated, and he's motivated by what's to come. And so he's seeing it bearing fruit. And I'm sure, man, when you see it bearing fruit, it just motivates you even more just to charge ahead, right? So a couple commentators pointed out, yes, I read commentators. A couple commentators pointed out that some of the phrasing used here was most likely used by Paul because while the Philippian church was not of Israel, they were very familiar with the Old Testament or the Torah, right? And so he refers to Israel as a perverse and crooked generation in Deuteronomy 32:5. Basically, Paul was using terminology these guys knew, right? So Paul was encouraging these guys to work out their internal personality issues with each other. Those differences come up. Not in this room. It seems like we all get along pretty good, which I'm thankful for. But I have been in other Christian circles where that's not the case, man. This guy's not digging on that guy, and it's an ugly thing, man. It'll just, you move on real fast, right? And the world's watching, man, and that is, if we think it's ugly, they think it's way ugly. And that's not going to draw anybody in, you know? So if Christians can't get along with each other, that's a big issue, obviously, and it's a big stumbling block for those people that are desiring, you know, to know about Jesus, desiring to know about what we have. In fact, they just might not want to know what we have if that's what they see happening. And so that's what Paul's talking about. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, if I'm being poured out, continue verse 17, as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. So here Paul's basically reminding them that they're an extension of him, right? Of his efforts. It's kind of just a little more, a little, another nudge of motivation. Kind of like Coach Paul probably does with his team when it's the big game on the line, right? You know, go out there and represent your school. Go out there and represent your city. You know, don't let me down. You know, whatever it is, right? It's like, it's, you know, win with this one for the Gipper speech, basically. And we know that someone that affects just one life, if that one life goes on and affects three, and those three lives go off and affect 10, and so on and so forth, all of that down the road when we get to heaven is accredited to us, right? Which, you know, we're going to throw those rewards right at the king's feet, because obviously it all comes down to him and we don't want them, right? But that's what Paul's talking about too, right? He's talking about that system of how God credits these things, right? And adds it up and totals it up. All we want to do is see the king smile at us, right? That's it, man. Look him face to face and see that smile. Can't wait. But that's what he's doing. And again, he's using some Old Testament imagery here. He's talking to them in a language that they understand. And that's important for us to do, you know, when we're talking to each other. You know, I don't want to talk to Rich about, you know, using full construction, you know, conversation with the guy if that's not his field, right? We're gonna talk about things that we both have in common, both understand. We're gonna speak a language that we both get, right? That's important to do. This next end of this chapter, Paul starts commending a couple people. First, he commends Timothy, and then we'll get to the next guy. But when he starts commending Timothy, this is what he says. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." So no cell phones, right? He's got to send letters. He doesn't send Timothy with this letter. We're going to find out who he sends the letter with. But he is going to send Timothy shortly. And one great thing about Timothy is Timothy's a young guy. What I like about that is we have this tendency to think, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. And again, it comes down to, here's this perfect example, this young man that has the right motives, has the right traits, right? And that's what it's about. It's about what's behind it all. It's not about those physical characteristics, right? You know? I mean, and that's the thing I really love about Timothy. To contrast, you know, he says, I have no one who will sincerely care for your state, right? There's all these other people that seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But Timothy's not like that. He's Christ-minded. Again, that's the big point here. He's Christ-minded. He doesn't take Jesus for granted. You know, every knee will bow, but some will do it because they want to, right? Timothy's that person that wants to. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That's the mind that's in Timothy. One other thing is it's really easy to read these passages and these books and so on, and Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Corinthians, etc., and think of them in terms of Bible lessons. But I think there's so much more impactful when I realize, like, Paul's writing to, because again, he doesn't have a cell phone. He can't send an email. He's writing, he can't FaceTime them, you know? I mean, this is his only way to communicate with people he cares about. He's writing letters to his friends, you know, people he sincerely loves. Whenever I read them in that light, I don't know, they just take on a different vibe for me. It's not like a sermon, man. This is like a letter to a friend, you know, that he longs to see here at the end, right? But I trust the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Well, he was really hoping for that, right? This next gentleman, Epaphroditus. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Just stop there. They're thinking about my brother Ed, man, right now when I'm reading that, right? That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, man, I'm so glad he made it, right? He's okay. Therefore, I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. I don't know why that's so hard to say. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. First of all, what an epic commendment here by Paul of this guy, right? He calls him my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. I mean, this is men's study stuff right here, man. This right here is why this group is so important to me. Why it has been from day one. I don't know how long ago it's been. Let's not talk about it. But I've watched you guys go through some serious stuff. A lot of you guys go through some serious stuff. Guys losing their jobs, sickness, divorce, heavy, heavy stuff. But here you guys are. You guys keep coming. And then you share that burden with us, and we pray with you. And in a lot of cases, we get to celebrate a praise report with you, right? It's a real blessing. It's a really good example for us. I think of guys that aren't here that I can't embarrass, unfortunately. But Bob with Bob with Rocky, right? And with cancer. Todd Collins working with dealing with cancer. Ed Jeffers, he's back, but dealing with COVID. I think of David Ortega. Do you guys remember David Ortega? He always prayed for Carlos, Drew, and the crew, right? He esteemed others over himself. And that guy was dealing with some heavy stuff, you know? And the examples I just read do that same thing. Remember Brother Joel? Remember him right at the end, how he walked through that. Brian, who's not here tonight, I wish he was, but Brian always showing up, you know? That's impactful to me. That speaks to me. That is being that light to me. And we could go on and on with examples, right? But Epaphroditus wasn't looking to get his commendation, but his efforts and his motives, like you guys, were not lost on Paul. Your efforts aren't lost on me. And keep it up, my brothers. Keep it up, my fellow workers. Keep it up, warriors. I'm going to end tonight with the song we ended with, because it's right there. It's all about Jesus, right? We need to give him more than the song. We need to give him our best effort, you know, and not because we're trying to earn anything, but because we love him and because of what he's already done, and we just appreciate it, right?
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.